This episode is brought to you by patreon.com/sbfvgs. Welcome to Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover, episode 119. You're listening to the number one video game podcast on the internet that features my best friends. I'm one of your hosts, Adam Redding. Joining me is Mike, the Platinum Parry Master.
I am playing Sekiro, and it's very fun.
And he parries like the Dickens, I might say.
He posted all over Twitter.
I did. All over everyone.
All over everyone's Twitter.
All everyone's Twitter. It got everywhere.
And that other voice you're hearing is David, Vacation Boy Tate.
Yeah, more like Staycation Boy.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, I just took a week off. I needed, it's almost sort of like a mental health week. I just needed to like chill out and relax. And I'll talk about what I've been playing when we get to that section. So yeah,
cool. Yeah.
Good times.
That's awesome. Yes, so the Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover Podcast comes to you every fortnight, with each of us coming to the table to discuss one burning topic from the world of gaming. But first, what are you gentlemen playing at?
I would like to start, since I'm on staycation. Mm-hmm. And you'd think my list would be very long since I'm on staycation, but in fact, no. I've mostly been playing StarCraft II.
This is wild.
On this staycation.
StarCraft II.
So,
yeah, how did this happen?
All right. So there is an expansion of the campaign of StarCraft II that I have never played. It came out in 2015. And I was like deep into like overtime learning how to do my new visual effects job back then. And so I just didn't have any time for it. I was also probably really addicted to Destiny at the time, too. So,
oh, my gosh.
So anyway, I never played it. So of the two, there are three campaigns for StarCraft II, and of the three of them, I've played one and a half of them. So,
Okay.
I started with the first campaign, which took a lot longer than I was expecting. We're recording this the Thursday into my 5-day staycation, so I have one day left to play StarCraft all day, and I've only beaten the first campaign and like a few missions of the second campaign.
Oh, no.
So I'm not looking good. It's not looking good for me to finish all three of them on the staycation, but I'm trying. I'm going to try really hard. So yeah, I just got to the Kerrigan campaign. So there's three. There's the Protoss, Zerg, and there's the Terran, Zerg, and Protoss. I'm in the Zerg one right now, and it's really, man, it's hard. I didn't remember how good the story is in it. Like,
oh, okay.
I was not
because you don't think about that.
Yeah.
You know, those kinds of games for story. Usually.
No, not usually, at all. No. Not like when I had the games and was playing them the most, I was mostly playing like head to head, like with friend of the show, Nick or Eric, with the handsome faced. And that's what I did most of the time when I was playing StarCraft II. But like I played the campaign once. I played the first campaign like back in 2010. And so I don't remember anything that happened in that.
Yeah.
Or no, 2009, actually. It's been 10 years. So, yeah, I had no idea what happened. So it's all like really fresh. It's really fun. Although I have to say one last thing. The last mission of the first campaign is way too hard. Like I breezed on through every other mission in normal mode, and it took me like 4 attempts to beat the last mission of the first campaign. And I actually ended up cheating a little bit because I was just like, you know what, this is taking me like 2.5 hours. I don't want to.
David,
yeah,
you cheated not only the game but yourself. You didn't grow, you didn't improve, you took a shortcut and gained nothing. You experienced a hollow victory. Nothing was risked and nothing was gained.
Oh my
gosh, you don't know the difference.
What just happened to me?
So we are definitely going to come back to that.
That's
a thing we're going to come back to. A data, especially if you don't know what it is, this is going to come back to you in a very good way.
Okay. That's great.
I promise.
Good. But so I in my defense, I beat it once 10 years ago. So
yeah, well that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I take it all back.
Okay, good. And then so I've also played a little Destiny 2, or not Destiny 2, sorry, The Division 2. Getting really close to raid ready, because the raid comes out at the end of this month. So I'm just kind of like doing my daily missions and gearing up a little bit.
Very nice.
And then, oh, also I've been playing Fortnite with my 12-year-old nephew, which has been a very fun.
Okay. So I was on Discord earlier this week, and I knew you were on vacation, and I saw you were playing Fortnite, and I was like, what in the world? Why is he playing Fortnite?
Like, why are you leading him astray, David? That's my question. Why haven't you led him to Apex
yet? Here's the thing. He doesn't have a PS Vita. He doesn't have a Nintendo Switch. He has a PS4, but when he's not home, he can't play it. And also, most of the time, he can't play because his mom or his dad is watching TV. You know what I mean? So, Fortnite...
So sad.
He can play on his iPad, you know?
Okay, he can play Apex on his iPad through the iOS app that remotes to his PS4.
There you go.
With touchscreen controls.
Remote play,
baby.
Oh, remote play. Yeah.
You got to teach him. You got to teach him better, David. Come on.
I will have to... I don't know. I don't even know if that's viable. Like, Fortnite has controls designed for mobile. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
it would be awful. I would not recommend it.
It would be pretty bad.
Yeah. So, anyway, I've been playing a little Fortnite with my nephew, and that's been really fun. He can't voice chat. His parents don't let him turn on voice chat. So, he, like emotes at me, and it's pretty amazing.
Nice.
So, anyway, I'm having a good time. And it's been a great week. I'm living my best life.
Oh man,
hashtag
blessed. That sounds glorious. I'm taking my birthday week off this year because we do the birthday week, of course. And so that means usually you can kind of pick when it starts and stops. You usually have, you know, you have one weekend where you're living it up all weekend, and then somewhere within the week previous or after is your actual birthday day.
Right.
But you get a week of like calling the shots, picking the movies, picking the restaurants. You open one present a day, Hanukkah style. It's going to be great. this first year I've ever done it, I'm taking the whole week off of work so my reign of terror can be complete. That's going to be great. So,
Sounds wonderful.
I'm looking forward to that. That's beginning of June. So,
nice.
Your staycation, I'll soon be imitating.
Do you have any plans for what you'll be playing during that yet? Or is it too soon to know? Like, maybe there's some...
I guess it depends if I can beat Red Dead before that or not.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'll probably try to beat Red Dead during birthday week.
Nice. Is that it? Is that what you've been
playing? This is what you're maybe playing? Do you want...
that's what I shall soon be playing.
Okay.
So basically, over the past 2 weeks, a lot has happened, guys. A lot has happened.
Okay.
My wife and I, of course, celebrated our 13th anniversary.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Congratulations.
That's been... Thank you. It's been a baker's dozen worth of years.
How is that possible? I was at your wedding. How was that 12 years ago?
13 years ago.
I'm sorry. Baker's dozen. I don't remember how that works.
So it doesn't seem like it's been that long at all.
No.
But yeah. So anyway, so we did that and we went off to Las Vegas to celebrate
just the
wife and I.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the first part of what I was playing was all there. In Las Vegas, they have the most expensive video games.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But sometimes you get a partial refund. And this time I did. I won $43.
Whoa.
That final night. So, yeah. So basically we played, I didn't really play. Usually I'm kind of a blackjack guy, mm-hmm. but this time I was just, you know, we were just hanging out. So just played a few slots here and there. We didn't really gamble a lot,
wow.
but Goonies has a slot machine.
Oh, see, now I have to go play it.
Right. And I was walking by and I hear Sloth like, "Hey, you go." I was like, "Oh gosh, I have to play it now." And I was thinking, well, you know, how great would it be to be able to, cause you never want to have won a bunch of money on like, "Oh yeah, I was playing the Sex in the City slots." You know, like, you never want to have to tell people that. So, I was thinking, how wonderful would it be? Like, yeah, Chunk's little face like filled up the line and I won like $200 or whatever.
That's,
you know?
Yeah.
So but however,
yeah.
Goonies was very bad for my wallet.
Oh no.
All the draw slot machines are. Like I every time I played like Indiana Jones or like one of the really super cool ones, like I never ever got any money back. It was always like the dumb, lame old slot machines. And I don't know what that is.
Like,
I don't know why.
Yeah. So I played that. I kept losing on that one, so I was like, forget this. I found a James Bond one.
Oh.
That one was really cool looking. It had like three places where you could sit, and had a big TV on top that had the 007 logo. And then so while you're playing, of course, James Bond is already all about gambling.
Right.
Sure.
So as I was playing, I think I spun it twice, and then all of a sudden, like the second one was all these chips started showing up, and I got this enormous bonus on like 10 free spins.
What?
And I ended up winning like $30 off of that.
Nice.
One.
Like, yes.
Sweet.
Which James Bond was it? Or was it all?
That was Thunderball.
Okay.
So old Sean Connery.
Okay.
James Bond. So then, I cashed out of that one and we went over to the Lord of the Rings one.
Oh.
Lord of the Rings is awesome. That one's amazing. Cause it's like all the slots are so high tech now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, there's like, so you hit it and then it goes to the top screen. There's like a regular screen you're looking at. And then the upper screen where like you get the bonus. So I got that.
Yeah.
And it's spinning like crazy. And it's like, oh, Frodo free spins. And like, so we won all kinds of money on that one.
Oh, is that Frodo's last name? Frodo Freespin, yeah. Or maybe it's his middle name because his last name is Baggins. So Frodo Freespin Baggins.
That's in the appendices, if you like.
I love it.
So anyway,
yeah.
Had a great time in Vegas. But when we got back, ended up playing some more Apex Legends.
Oh.
Played with my buddy Jeremy, friend of the
nice.
Show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel bad. Every time I'm on and he's on, he sends me a bunch of invites, but I'm usually either full up or like just having like one-on-one bro time because my brother and I play Apex together. It's like kind of how we hang out, you know. So so anyway, Jeremy, if you're listening, I'm sorry I haven't accepted any invites. I will one of these days when I hop on and I have, you know, some time. I'm sorry. I'm
yeah,
very
he
sorry.
Was he was helping me get good.
Yeah.
So
did you guys get any wins? Yeah,
No.
Have you ever won yet?
No, I have not won yet.
Wow.
I need to ride your guys' coattails to victory.
Yeah. Well, if we ever end up playing together, I'm gonna be streaming it. It's gonna have to be streamed.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So I mean, I've never been super great at like competitive multiplayer first person shooters, but you know, I like them. I still have fun.
Well, Mike and I can carry you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
And then Spider-Man, I hopped into DLC number 3
because
I still have not beaten that.
I'm so happy.
Played a bit more of that. I'm going to finish that one up. Maybe I'll finish that one up tonight after the show.
Oh,
it's a good one.
Who knows? And then Kingdom Hearts 3, we've been playing some more of that. We've made it to the Tangled Land out of the arduous Toy Story Land.
Okay, so you still haven't gotten that full Let It Go performance yet, then? We're still
not yet.
ETA well, on that.
I cannot wait.
So how many lands have you guys hit?
Gosh, so that would be 1, 2, 3, I think 4. And there's these little space parts in between.
Oh, yeah, with the gummy ship.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah,
it's cool. Charming. It's charming, but very confusing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just like a good Square Enix game should
exactly.
be.
Exactly.
All right. And Michael.
Yes.
What have you been playing?
So the Wednesday last week, I think it was, David and I actually hopped in and played some Jackbox, which it's been a while.
Yeah.
We had a good time.
Yeah, we streamed it. It was
we did.
We had a really good time.
Yeah, a lot of fun. I've almost got like my new rig kind of set up that I can start like kind of hosting those games. So fingers crossed that's going to happen here real soon.
Very cool.
But other than that, I have just been playing whenever I can get my hands on it. Sekiro.
Yeah.
So last episode, I got
challenged. How far are you?
You know, I don't know. I'm trying really hard not to Google a bunch of stuff about that game.
Oh,
so,
okay. Fair enough. So you've beaten like how many big bosses, though, we'll say?
I would say 1, 2, 3.
Big
four,
boss.
Five. I'd say at least 6 bosses for sure. So like
big bosses.
Every time. Yeah, because there's tons of mini bosses in the
big
game,
boss.
Which you can always tell because they're insanely hard to kill. And they have like more than just a single life bar.
Metal Gear.
And they're usually like, hyper stylized. Like you'll know when you see one, right? But the like an actual boss, when you kill a boss, that's like your opportunity to actually do the closest thing to what Sekiro has in leveling up your character.
Mm-hmm.
By beating like the mini bosses, and occasionally you can find them scattered around, you get like little beads, and every 4 beads you can like up your life bar.
No,
but
okay.
You can only up your attack power by beating bosses.
Oh, okay.
So when do you fight the Lale Lule Lo?
I don't know. Not, I don't know how far in the game I am.
He's not,
Googling.
He's not going to Google the spoilers.
Sorry, I don't know why I'm making so many Metal Gear Solid jokes.
I don't know either. Because he said the word boss.
Big boss. He kept saying big boss, and that's Solid Snake, right? No.
So yeah, I'll hopefully be able to finish that game pretty soon and give a review for it. But I will say at this point, I've probably put like 20 hours into it. Okay. And I'm like super in love with that game. It's absolutely awesome. My favorite From Software title to date.
Wow, very cool.
Even more than Bloodborne, which I really loved.
So how many have you played now? Bloodborne and this and what else?
I played Demon's Souls.
Demon's Souls.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think I played the first Dark Souls. And it just Demon's Souls, you know, well, wasn't really my thing. I think I put like 20 something hours into it, and then I was like, okay, I've seen what this has to offer. I'm kind of done with it though.
That's very generous for a game that you don't like.
Well, I wouldn't say that I don't like it, but it wasn't engaging me enough either through gameplay or through story to keep playing more to
gotcha.
See what else the game was in there for. So I had fun with my 20 hours and then I was just done with the game.
I see.
And that's how kind of Dark Souls was too. I started off in that game and it was just not really grabbing me in the right way to keep me playing for longer. So same thing, kind of put some hours into it, then moved on. And then Bloodborne was almost the same. I played Bloodborne and then kind of gave up on it and came back like months and months later to finally play it again. And then for whatever reason, the second time it just clicked. Like what everyone was saying about how great Bloodborne was, I couldn't figure out the first time. Whatever it was the second time around, maybe I was just in a better mood or something, but it was super fun the second time. And then I ended up platinuming that game because I was having so much fun with it. I plan on platinuming Sekiro as well. I'm really in love with that game.
Oh man. Oh man.
Oh boy.
Yeah. But that's all I've been playing.
The Platinum Parry Master.
Well, I hope so. Now here's the problem. If it's anything like Bloodborne, that means unless I do a little cheating with like offloading a save file, I'm going to have to beat that game at least four times.
Oh my gosh. Have fun.
Yeah. That's the one thing that got spoiled for me. It got spoiled for me on Twitter. I was like scrolling through my feed and I guess there's multiple endings to that game. And I guess it's at least four. And some folks were like, oh, you're just like Bloodborne. You may have to make a backup of your save. If you don't want to play the game four times in a row.
Oh my goodness. Starfox _ good _ luck dot MP3.
Okay.
Good luck.
Yeah, there you go. That's like an internet meme where you like list a file name that knows.
I get it.
How David, you're so computer.
I am very computer. Help computer.
read me some news.
All right, so it's time for the news. Well, I guess I should say it the right way. It's time for the news!
Oh, very good.
So, remember, you can submit news stories for discussion on the show at our subreddit at sbfegs.reddit.com, where, let's see.
And also, if you don't want to submit, you can also just upvote on your favorite ones. So,
ooh, so true.
Yeah. So we know what you want us to talk about, and then Adam will go ahead and ignore it and talk about whatever he wants. So it's great.
I'll talk about the ones that I want to talk about. All right. So I know we have quite a few Twitter questions, so I'm going to keep the news to the top three.
Okay.
Again.
Okay. Top I'll believe three it stories. When I see it, but okay. Go ahead.
So this one comes courtesy of Top Newsman Ultima Kills.
Oh yeah,
good man.
The Top Newsman.
Good
Skyrim
top
Grandma.
Newsman.
Skyrim Grandma Shirley Curry will be an NPC in The Elder Scrolls 6.
That's really cool.
I actually really like that.
I love Skyrim Grandma. If you're not familiar, this lady has been playing Skyrim like for hours every day for the past 10 years now or something.
However long it's been out, I guess.
Sure. Since it came out, she's been playing Skyrim, and so now Skyrim Grandma is famous, and now she's going to be in Elder Scrolls Six. I think that's
is she still around? Is she still kicking?
Oh, I hope so. Gosh, we'll pray. We'll pray.
I just
Shirley.
Hope that she lives to see herself in the game. She's 82. Oh, she's got some time, probably.
She's got
fingers crossed.
Plenty of time.
Yeah,
plenty of time. All right, so. Next story here. This is Microsoft coming out swinging.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I think this is pretty smart. So Microsoft to combine the Xbox Game Pass and Xbox Live into a $14.99 a month subscription.
It's so pretty cool.
What is that? That gives you basically Xbox Live and then Game Pass half price, right?
Yeah. If you were to basically, that's the deal. But the only thing, okay, so the Game Pass deal was great the year they announced it, and it like when it came out, because at that point in time they were releasing every game, every mm-hmm. Microsoft published game was being added right to Game Pass right off the bat. So that made Game Pass a mm-hmm. really good deal. But now Microsoft has said, if you go back and read our wording on that, we only said we were going to be putting every game put out that year on Game Pass.
Oh no, man.
So there's already a game coming out that's not going to be on Game Pass.
What is it?
Which is the Halo Master Chief Collection on PC is not going to be on Game Pass.
Oh, okay. Huh. Well, so I just took to the calculator because I wanted to make sure my brain math was correct.
Sure.
Okay. But brain $15, math. $15 a month times 12 is $180. Isn't Xbox Game Pass $9.99 a month right now?
I don't know.
So it's the exact same price as just paying 12 months of Game Pass plus $60 of Xbox Live?
So
is that correct?
So Game Pass is $9.99 a month.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the monthly price of Xbox Live is...
Well, not monthly. I guess if you were to pay for a year, though, of each.
Well, if that's different, they always give you a discount for a year of each. This is a monthly price.
I thought isn't it still 60 though? For a year,
it's 60
of Xbox
for a year, but you can also get it for $9.99 a month.
Yeah.
So if you
get
Xbox Live and Xbox Game Pass monthly, you're shaving $5 off now. Because instead of $20 a month for both, it's $15 a month. And do we know the annual price for that rolled into one?
Yeah, I'm curious if there is an annual price.
Yeah, at least the monthly that I've seen.
So it is a discount if you're going off the monthly model.
Okay. Yeah. All right, for sure. That's good. But I was just thinking, if you're going to buy it by the year, it's the exact same price.
Yeah.
So you might as well not make any big changes to your life.
I already have Xbox Live and Game Pass through 2020 at this point. So,
but, you know, if you're going to subscribe to both, mm-hmm. like pretty much all the time, and you'd rather have it be a monthly thing, kind of like a Netflix bill instead of having to come up with the money,
right?
You know, for once a year for Xbox Live, that makes sense.
Yeah, sure,
I can get behind this. Yeah. I approve.
Some people can't afford to do the lump sum, you know.
Yeah. And then, of course, in the most consequential of all the news items, I'm adding one.
Oh, okay.
There is an Indiegogo campaign started for a PS Vita dock. A dock that lets you turn your PS Vita into a Switch, basically, by giving you the ability to easily pick up games on the big screen. I'm kind of curious to see where this goes.
You can play your outdated console that no longer has any games coming out for it on your big screen. It's great.
Here's the wild thing. The PlayStation Vita TV was already out, right?
Already a thing.
Yeah, it's already a thing.
So you can already play Vita games.
Oh, that's true.
On your TV, and you can get a Vita TV for like dirt cheap.
Oh,
now.
Yeah. If you just go on eBay or something like that, they're crazy cheap.
You probably get one for like $20.
Oh, wow.
Probably the cost of this dock.
Why? Then why do you?
I don't know. That's I don't know.
I don't know. I guess.
Just to make it more like a Switch.
Yeah, wait. What are you going to use? I guess I'm confused about this thing. Like, what are you going to use to actually control it? Because it's not like you compare a PS3 controller to the Vita.
Oh,
you know?
My. I can't answer this question.
Or maybe that's the plan. Maybe this thing is going to be magic and let you like pair DualShock 3 or 4. Huh.
Hmm.
Seems like someone would have to read the news story rather than just the headline.
Yeah, well.
Your Vita has to be hacked and has to have a plugin called UVC Vita by Zerpy.
Ah, okay. Mm. All right. I like it. Mm.
I don't like it. At all.
I don't hack my Vita.
Yeah.
Because I'm a law-abiding citizen.
That's right. Amen.
All right. So last, but actually even more important.
So we are doing four, not three, like you said.
Yeah, I added one. The PSN name changes are live, baby.
Yeah.
So now, the PlayStation blog has announced that now, you can go onto the PlayStation Store. You can change your ID. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some caveats.
Yeah, I don't like these caveats
guys,
at all.
Are you guys aware of the caveats?
Yes, I'm very much aware.
All right, yeah, because, I mean, to me, I'm happy with my name. I was responsible when I chose my PSN name. Yeah. You know, I didn't choose, like David is about to change it to Slippery Banana 6969.
Oh, what was that? It again? Yeah. Oh, that's what I'm supposed to change my name to.
Hold on.
Slippery Banana 420.
Oh, 420 Blaze at 69.
Yeah, so that's going to be David's new name. And I feel like there are a lot of names out there like this were chosen irresponsibly. So, but yeah, I'm cool with mine. But I know that some people are desperate, right, to get away from their old name.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't care about online leaderboards that might get hosed, and you don't care about maybe some old games that you bought on PS3 and the DLC maybe not working anymore, you know, things like that, then you're probably fine. But I can see there a small, you know, piece of the audience that probably going to be angry about some things if they change their name.
Yeah, and some other things, they're never releasing old usernames. So if a username has ever existed, you can never have it. So that means all the good PSN usernames are already taken as it is. So
yeah.
Well, aside from Slippery Banana, 420 Blaze, 6969.
Touche. But most of the like unique ones that don't have numbers are taken at this point.
So here's a fun anecdote. I actually did hop on the website to change my PSN name.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because you didn't want to be Taco_Douglas.
Right. I was like, I'll just remove the underscore at this point.
Yeah.
It's a new age. You don't have to have underscores anymore.
Underscoreless.
Wait a second. Did someone have Taco
someone
Douglas?
Someone has Taco Douglas. There's a fake Taco Douglas out there with no underscore.
No.
So don't be fooled. If you're playing online, you see Taco Douglas and there's no underscore in between. That's a dirty
He's
liar
a
right
fake
there.
Fake Taco
a dirty
Douglas.
Liar.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, because as we all know, it's all about Taco _ Douglas.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
My heart was broken though.
Wow.
Oh, so sad.
It is.
Oh yeah. And that about wraps up the news.
I believe you mean the news.
All right, now it's time for Mike Struggles to read the tweets.
So we've got a lot of tweets. So I'm going to get as many as I can.
A bunch of tweets.
And that's all that depends.
Awesome. You have plenty of time.
That's going to depend on you guys. How quickly can you get through these?
Why does it have to be a race, Mike? Where do you got to go? Where do you got to be?
I have roughly 1 hour of statements to correspond
so
with.
So you record
tweets.
Those post-podcast. I'll edit them in later.
That could just be for the Patreon.
I'll edit
patrons.
A link to your responses.
Okay,
so
you.
First up, I feel like this question is going to have to be directed mostly at David.
Because
the Monster Closet
played it. Right.
Yeah. The Monster Closet wrote it and said, brutal question. I had asked for brutally difficult, perfectly timed questions.
Yes.
Brutal question. How do BioWare fix Anthem?
How do? I would say more content. More content, better connection with the story, better connection between the story and the action. These are very expensive fixes, but I think very necessary. And we, you know, now we've the curtain has been pulled back a little bit via that Kotaku article about what happened with Anthem and like why, like it makes sense now why the story and the campaign feels so disconnected. It's because the story wasn't even decided on until within a year of the game's release. And
it's insane.
There's no way you can construct missions that go with the story if there's no story. So these missions were created without much story.
In a vacuum.
Yeah, in a vacuum.
Yeah.
So anyway, we need BioWare to lock down their stories sooner.
Yeah, and maybe fewer glitches. That'd be a good thing, right?
I mean, again, that's something that comes with locking down your feature set before a year launch within a year launch of the game.
I think really, really they need to let BioWare Austin do its thing. Well,
yeah,
right?
Now, yeah, like, now it's all BioWare Austin running. Because
it's now shipped to them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And Edmonton's working on, you know, Dragon Age presumably, and
possibly yeah, Mass Effect.
And Dragon Age got rebooted, so that's fun.
Yeah, because Austin is the studio that had more of that online experience, right?
Yeah, they're
right?
The,
like from Star Wars,
the Republic Star Wars tour people. So fingers crossed they've got some stuff up their sleeve. I don't know. I guess they can do story stuff because they did SWTOR, so that has lots of story stuff in it. So yeah, fingers crossed they can bring it back. I mean, like, so if Anthem is still around within a year. And there's an upcoming expansion on the way at that point. I feel good about the future of Anthem and it's, you know, it's the state of it. Like, people might be talking about it like they did with Destiny 1, mm-hmm. you know, like, cause that game had the same problem where the story was rebooted several times throughout and still being rebooted within a year of its release. Like, yeah, if they stick to if they stop ignoring Destiny and start learning from what Destiny has already learned.
Remember we were talking about that? Yeah. Like, why didn't they just do what Destiny did? But I guess internally, right?
They weren't allowed to talk about Destiny.
Management didn't want to admit that it was going to be like Destiny.
Yeah, yeah. So, they were like, don't forget everything you know about Destiny. We're going to beat
this. This isn't Destiny.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Even if it's not Destiny, it's still... can learn from what they learned in Destiny. And so they just need to stop being in a vacuum. They're BioWare. That's great. But iterate. Don't just create again because you're BioWare. You know what I mean? Like if it's already been solved, don't try to solve it again. So anyway, unless it needs it, like they did with Apex Legends. Like, that's an example of a game that did not exist in a vacuum. They looked at all the different things that Battle Royales had done. They took the best parts of all of them and added really cool new stuff to it. And that's what made Apex such a good game. So, and now Fortnite's copying all of those innovations. So, but anyway,
Fortnite's like Facebook at this point.
Yeah.
And Apex is like, you know, I don't know, Periscope or whatever.
Yeah, that's a pretty good analogy, actually.
Okay.
That's good. So, was that short enough, Mike? Was I too long?
No, it was super long.
Was that short enough for you?
Everyone's a critic.
Brad Carney wrote in and said, what do you think would win, or who do you think, sorry, who do you think would win in a fight of all the mascots from Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo?
All of them?
Who's the most powerful mascot?
Okay, first of all, we need to establish some mascots. Sony mascots?
A brief list.
You got Mario.
Okay.
Yeah, you got Super Mario.
Yeah, Mario.
Why are you guys saying Mario?
That's how you pronounce this. You're from New York. You should know this.
I have a friend whose name is Mario, and he will correct you if you try to call him Mario.
Okay, so you know.
But that's not Mario. That's a different guy.
I'm pretty sure it's the same guy.
This is Super Mario, Mike.
I don't know how to argue with this.
So yeah, there's Master Chief.
Okay.
There's Marcus Fenix. Right. I even threw Laura Croft in there as like Sony? An Xbox kind of.
Well,
she's kind of universal.
She used to be Sony. I feel like
she used to be PlayStation. Same, and if anything, it's a Square Enix. So
yeah, same with Crash Bandicoot though. Like Crash Bandicoot was a Sony mascot. Now it's kind of a mascot.
Now
everywhere.
What about Cloud or like? Was his name Cloud from Final Fantasy VII?
Yeah. Cloud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What about...
You guys are listing a lot of mascots that do not belong to any of these companies.
Fat Princess.
Well, they don't... the funny thing with mascots, though, is a lot of times they don't necessarily belong to the company, but they still... Like, Crash was always an
particularly
Activision property.
In Sony's case, they have a lot of third-party mascots.
Yeah.
Parappa, who's on your hat.
Up here. Yeah. Yeah. Kratos.
How about Zelda? Can Link be a Nintendo mascot? Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. What about Captain Falcon?
Donkey Kong.
And Samus.
Yeah.
Okay,
basically, think of the cast of Smash Brothers against like the cast of...
What is that game?
Okay, so it's Smash Bros. Versus PlayStation All-Stars.
Battle Royale, yeah. And then PlayStation All-Stars,
and then
Battle
Master
Royale.
Chief.
And then Master Chief.
And add Master Chief and Marcus Fenix and maybe a car.
Maybe a pirate?
Like a really great looking car.
a great
How
looking
about a pirate,
car,
like Sea of Thieves style.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So here's my take on this.
Okay. Hit me with it.
Well, okay, if we're including Cloud,
mm-hmm. I need to know
what,
go ahead.
What materia does he have equipped,
Oh,
David?
My gosh.
I can't answer that. I'm not
this
qualified.
This could vary wildly. So, okay, I just got to go with Kratos.
Kratos.
Like, get into rage mode in God of War mm-hmm. and just, like, beating the hell from, you know, one of those bosses. Like, no one's going to stand up to that. None of these jokers got anything right. on that.
And he's got that great beard now.
He's got that great beard.
A great beard.
And he's got his boy backing him up.
Mario doesn't have a beard.
And he's got no boys.
That's true.
I guess he's got Luigi, but come on.
Oh, man. Okay, so I'm going to go with Link. Link would win because there are 11 Links. So you just get all of those Links in there fighting together because they're all the same, but there's 11 of them.
I say Kratos can take them all.
I'm pretty sure. You think one Kratos can fight 11 Links?
I'm sure the Greek pantheon would let you know if they mm-hmm. could.
Wait. Mm-hmm. Should I go ask them real quick? I'm confused.
You can't. They're all dead.
Well, so then Link wins.
I don't think you understood.
I really don't.
He did not play
all
the
right,
trilogy.
So you go with Link. Mike, is your answer also Kratos?
Oh, absolutely.
Or you got
it's
somebody?
Kratos. Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Madman 20 wrote two questions in. One of them is really, really close to another question we got from Ashley, though, so I'm going to skip to his second question.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Which is, let me kind of skip the intro to this question and say, how do you guys feel about Days Gone as it was hyped up during its initial release trailer and that hype died down as time went by? Could it even be a contender for Game of the Year this year?
So my answer to this question is, I wasn't hyped for Days Gone for its initial reveal. I was like, oh no, it's another zombie fighting game. I don't care.
Yeah, sure,
I don't need another. I don't need to play. There's been so many. I don't need to play another one. But like time has passed. There haven't been a whole lot of zombie games in that amount of time. And
with, like State of Decay 2 and a couple.
Yeah,
but
like nothing huge.
Yeah, nothing this pretty.
Yeah, and now the more we see of it, the more we see the fleshed out like systems and the world and the story, like I'm actually pretty interested now. So I'm more hyped now than I was when it was first announced.
And I feel like that game is going to come out at a really, really good time.
Yeah.
It's out in just like a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. End of April, right?
Yeah. Yeah. 26, I think.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I can't
it comes
think
out on the 26th.
I can't think of anything else that's coming out like alongside of it.
Avengers.
Well,
the Division 2 raid.
Yeah, I'm actually seeing Avengers that day. I have my tickets.
Wow, that's super cool. Yeah, I gotta get out there and see it as soon as I can.
I'll see it and then I'll just like
just
I'll
post
just
all the spoilers on the internet
by Days Gone.
Oh, okay,
it'll be a glorious day.
Good. Yeah, but
I know what you mean. Like, what else? What other games could be Game of the Year contenders this year? You guys think so far?
Sekiro, for sure.
The Division 2.
Yeah. Okay.
Probably not, but...
Just because you don't like the game doesn't mean it's not good, Mike.
That game I've never played.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's also other, you know, a bunch of games that could still come out this fall that we don't know.
No, absolutely. You know. I think, though, at least the...
It's kind of
like Dave
say.
Was saying, the newer trailers we've seen, the new content that we're starting to see come out of that game, the story reveals that are starting to come out, I think the interest is starting to come back for Days Gone. And I think it's coming out at a really, really good time. I think that game could do really well.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll have to play
so.
It right when it comes out and see
if
it's actually
good.
I think
it's got some space.
But,
yeah, it's got some space to breathe. I mean.
Oh, man. Hang on. Resident Evil 2, Devil May Cry 5, Kingdom Hearts 3, ? Doom Eternal's coming out this year. Apex Legends could be the game of the year if it stays strong. There's a lot.
Yeah.
So
Ashley
who knows
and asked if you could pick only one video game to play from now until the end of time.
Oof.
Which game would it be and why?
That's a tough
one.
Oh,
that's so difficult. I get bored.
You only get one. I know. Yeah, there's nothing you're going to play that's not going to get old eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless it's what's that game that Mike plays all the time?
Is it Sekiro?
No.
I'm in a mood right
what's
now.
What's the game that he's beaten so many times?
Chrono Trigger?
There's one.
Final Fantasy VI?
How many times have you beaten that one?
Final Fantasy VI?
Yeah.
Like once every 2 years since it came out.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a lot. Okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, my instinct is to go with something massive, right? Some massive game where you can just comb this enormous world and do everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a Skyrim, you know, those kinds of games. But yeah.
You heard it here. Adam wants to play Fallout 76 for the rest of his life.
Eventually, though, you would see everything if you're playing it till the end of time.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I keep coming back to is a game that's evergreen, more simple. And so I'm going to go with Dr. Mario on this one.
That game is a
timeless delight.
Yeah.
Like I just fired it up the other day and it's just as good as it always
is. It is a really good game.
And you could play two player, which is very important because, you know, you dump on each other. Everyone gets angry. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Mm. So that's a good answer. That's a very good answer. I was thinking something. So this could bite me. I was thinking something like Apex Legends it will be iterated on.
It's always different.
It'll be different. I mean, but here's the problem. What if the game eventually dies and I just have to keep queuing into matches that don't get any people because no one's playing it? Like, that would be
It's like
torture.
Drive Club. It's like trying to play Drive Club now.
Exactly. So I think I'm going to think I'm going to actually pick Apex Legends. I think I'm going to pick Super Mario World.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, because I really like I've played that game a lot.
Yeah, it's a good game.
And it's just all the different. It's fun. And I feel like I could still have fun with it, you know, even when I'm 100, if I live that long.
And think about like the level of mastery.
Yeah.
You'd be like one of those speed runners, you know, just like every bit of every level memorized. Yeah. It'd be pretty sweet.
I think it would be fun. I hope I'm right.
What
about
you, Mike?
I mean, there's never going to be a world that I'm going to enjoy games in and not be able to keep playing Chrono Trigger. So I guess I'm going to have to pick that.
Okay. Chrono Trigger it is.
Okay.
You've tuned into the old man show. We've just changed the name.
They just don't make games like they used to.
They really don't.
That was me trying to do an old man voice, but I kind of failed at that.
This is a fun one. I think you guys will like this.
All right.
Ryan Felton wrote in and said, when would you guys like to see Jedi The Fallen Order set, if not announced already? And I haven't looked into this one. I don't know if there's been an announcement as far as like what time
They're supposed to announce it on Saturday.
Yeah, so,
Saturday,
so right. After that podcast episode, comes out.
Yeah,
yeah. When this episode,
so everyone else will
is
know. Just
recording.
Not us.
This is in the future,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we could probably respond with our predictions as to what just got
okay.
What just got revealed.
So when do you think it'll come out? Sort of in the timeline. Do you want to see returning characters or only new ones? And he went on to say that Star Wars is probably the thing he's been a nerd about the longest, that and superheroes. That's his jam. Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. A wise man.
Yeah.
Wise
man. Some good picks.
I think typically with Star Wars, we get a bit of both, right? Old characters and new characters.
Right.
Even if it's like old characters, like done in a stupid way. But I don't like the prequels. There you go.
Oh, man.
But, so, yeah. So it looks like they're actually queuing up a series with this one.
Oh.
So I'm guessing there's probably going to be a decent amount of story involved. Because if you look, and I think Jonathan Dornbush over at IGN kind of pulled the lid off this one. But the way the press release is worded, it says Star Wars Jedi : Fallen Order. So it almost like they're setting up a whole series. Like it could be Star Wars Jedi even more Fallen Order, you know, things like that, like for
Star
the sequel.
Wars Jedi sure. And Order sure. Restored, you know.
Yeah. Ooh. And so keeping the peace, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like with that name, it does make me think of like the time, the fall of the Jedi kind of between the the second and third prequel movies, or maybe that between the third and
I'm gonna go ahead and tell you the old trilogy. The Star Wars show.
Dave, are you Googling things?
No, the Star Wars show on YouTube, they confirmed that it takes place after episode three just yesterday.
Oh heavens.
Yeah. Apparently it was announced somewhere and they're like, yes, it's it takes place after episode three.
And okay, that's my guess.
After episode three, before episode four.
Okay, that's my guess.
That'll be the first. So ever since Disney bought Star Wars, there has been very little canonical stories set between three and before four. So,
like in video game land or in comics or all together.
And then there's been even less between Return of the Jedi and I can't remember The Force Awakens. There's been almost nothing said in that time period. So it's very interesting that they're leaving those periods blank. So I can't wait to see what's it, Respawn? Yeah, what they do.
Yeah, Respawn.
Yep.
So I'm not a big Star Wars guy, but I am excited that Respawn is making this game.
Yeah.
And I'm also
super stoked at video games.
They are very good at video games. And I'm stoked it's in the Unreal Engine.
Oh, we know this. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's not in Frostbite.
And it's not in Source, apparently, because that's what all of their games have been in.
Yeah, it's an Unreal. And an Unreal, you know, the modern or the current versions of Unreal has like the most insane like particle effects in it, which which would be super dope for a Star Wars game.
And not only that, but they've been doing a lot with for the PC folk out there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
for when PS5 and Xbox 2 comes out, like all the ray tracing stuff I've been seeing.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah, Unreal and Unity are both kind of like competing for top engine right now. I would say Unity is kind of more indie game friendly. They kind of have the indie game market like cornered, it feels like, Unity.
For sure.
And then Unreal is like where most of the AAA games that you're seeing are being made. And like Fortnite is made in Unreal. I'm totally blanking on everything else being made in Unreal. So
it's a new Star Wars game, apparently.
Apparently there's a new Star Wars game.
I mean, it's basically all of them.
This happens a lot when I start trying to list things on this podcast and then my brain just completely goes blank. And that just happened. So
the Batman games, I think, were Unreal.
Oh yeah.
There's a ton of games are Unreal.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited about that. I don't think it's coming out this year though, because Apex came out this year.
Well, I mean, Apex might have been a smaller team.
I mean, it probably was, but like, is Respawn big enough to release two games in the same year? Like, I feel like they've only been working on
Respawn is.
I feel like they've only been working on this game for like a year. If I had to guess.
My mind's telling me no, but my body's telling me yes.
So something to keep in mind with that, and we'll get off this question in a minute here, because it's turning into like a topic on its own, right? But it's a cool subject, I don't know what to say. Respawn was acquired by EA, I think, in 2017. So as we were talking before with the Anthem article that Jason Schreier wrote, we know that EA has no problems like shuffling people from different studios over to wherever they're needed. So
that's true.
It's certainly possible that if they needed a few more hands to be working on the Star Wars game while they'll work on Apex Legends, that EA definitely could have shifted resources that way.
Yeah.
So it's certainly possible. I would love to see it come out this year, but
why is it that that Respawn doesn't have to develop on Frostbite when everyone else is being forced to?
So,
like, it took Visceral down.
Right.
It almost took BioWare down.
Visceral was like being forced to use Frostbite?
Frostbite,
So
that's why they ran into the same stuff.
This is kind of interesting, because if you actually read a lot of interviews with a lot of these guys, they'll never say they were forced to use Frostbite. But there's a pretty well-known initiative with EA. They want everyone using the Frostbite engine. And so I suspect you have to like strongly be able to justify not using it. And in most cases, if you've already started building something somewhere else, they probably still make you use Frostbite.
Wow.
But Respawn, I believe, had already begun development on this Star Wars game prior to being acquired by EA. And so they may have had a significant amount of work done and been able to show EA something really cool. And then EA was like, all right, tell you what, go ahead and keep going. We like what we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Interesting.
hopefully it will not. I mean, I don't know how the best way to phrase this, right? By 2017, when they were acquiring Respawn, I'm pretty sure they knew about their issues they were having with Anthem, and they knew about the issues with Mass Effect Andromeda. Mm-hmm. And maybe they were a little more open, like, let's have just one game that's not Frostbite.
Let's see how they do. Let's see how, see how that does. I mean, Frostbite is like the best engine, but let's just see.
I mean, it's a perfectly fine engine, apparently, for first-person shooters, right? Because DICE uses it on the Battlefield games,
yeah, for sure.
And it's great, right?
I think, but that's also a case of them because they made it. Yeah, so they know it in and out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, coming to the end of these questions. yes. This is a really good one. You guys will be able to chime in quite a bit, I think. And I will less so. Roy Perez, thoughts on Reggie leaving Nintendo and the legacy he's leaving to Mr. Bowser? Also, your favorite thing about Reggie.
Oh, man.
Roy wrote in, he said, I loved his ability at being a gifted speaker. Everything the man said over the years were innovative, precise, and intelligent. Gonna miss that the most.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss him just being a meme factory.
For sure, right?
He was just such a force of personality. Like, he
was so entertaining.
Helped... Like, Nintendo's starting to feel really dry and bland and like, oh, what are they doing? I don't want... This is weird. Like, what happened? Where's all their like, drive? And then Reggie comes in, and the first time you ever see him on stage, he's like, my name is Reggie Fils-Aimé. I'm here to kick beep and play video games or something like that. And, like, that, like on stage, on a Nintendo, like, presentation, like, everyone was just
there are certain individuals that were just made, like, they have something innate in them that just makes them like amazing to be the face of a company. They have kind of like an excitement about what the company is doing,
excited
that they
about
can,
everything
and they can present that and they can get you excited about it, and I think that's not everyone can do that, obviously, because there's a lot of dry conferences out there. E3's right around the corner, you will see.
PS4 Pro.
Gosh, I don't even know how many
upscales, visuals,
visuals,
4K resolution.
Are you making fun of Sean Layden?
HDR?
No. This is
who is this?
The PS4 Pro reveal.
No, I know. I'm trying to think of who it was.
What's his name?
It's the guy who made Knack. What's his name?
And the PS4 Pro uses checkerboard rendering.
Mark Cerny.
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
That's not a bad Mark Cerny.
It's not a bad. You should break it out more often.
The intonation is. It's not about the voice.
That guy's apparently some kind of crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Genius.
He's a genius. He's not a tour de force personality presentation guy like Reggie. There have been rumors that there's going to be a Nintendo Direct to like send him off, and they're going to announce crazy things, but the problem is like the source of the rumor isn't very like trustworthy, so I'm trying very hard to not
rumor.
Get my hopes up for that, but like the rumors are like Animal Crossing coming out like that day, and Zelda Breath of the Wild 2 coming out this fall, and like anyway, I don't I'm trying to keep my hopes down so I'm not disappointed.
Is that
the tweets?
Keep us rolling. Mike. Okay.
Let's nail down these very last questions. Persian Druidus wrote in, said, favorite retro game and why?
Mike Tyson's Punch Out. Punch Out. It has to be specifically Mike Tyson's.
It's got to be the OG Mike Tyson's Punch Out. I mean, if you got in a pinch, the regular Punch Out will work, but. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just love it because it was basically a rhythm game slash boss rush game before that was a thing. Mm-hmm. So, and you got Mario referee.
It's solid gold.
Yeah,
that's great. And like I did say, Super Mario World is the game I would play till the end of time, but that doesn't feel retro enough to me. So I'm going to pick Super Mario 3 as my favorite retro game.
Ooh, okay. That's a fantastic
game. It's so
game.
Good. Yep. It's the best of the Marios on the NES, I think. And although Mario 2 is really fun, it's just so different. I'm gonna go with Mario 3.
Cool.
Nice.
Ethan Goddard wrote in, do you ever listen to music that's outside the game while playing the game? And if so, do you have any like if so, what game and what music? What associations do you sort of make to that?
So I got really
I used to do this way more. I don't do it anymore, really. But I used to, and now I have like these weird games in my past that are 100% associated with albums that I was listening to at that same time.
That's great.
Yeah.
So I've been playing a lot of The Division 2, and there's not a very extensive soundtrack on that game. Sure. And so, like, I've recently been, like, turning off the music in The Division 2. And I actually... This is so weird. I was playing The Division 2 to the StarCraft 2 soundtrack, which is just the strangest. I don't know why I did that, but that's what I did. So, yeah, there's my answer.
Cool.
Very nice. Yeah, I can't remember the name of it now, but there's an instrumental album that I like to listen to while playing Limbo.
Oh.
That it totally fits the aesthetic of that game. Okay. And it makes it, for me, it makes it better. But yeah, if games have a music, like a soundtrack, and it's not super silent like that, then I'll just turn up that music. I really love to be kind of immersed in the music that was intended for that experience.
Sure.
Usually. Yeah. But yeah, I know what you mean, Mike. Like, I used to listen just like OK Computer on repeat while playing Final Fantasy VII. And so those are
for sure.
Linked. Yeah. They're linked in my mind forever.
That's an interesting link.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
OK. And the very, very last question. Josh Bailey wrote in and said, what dead gaming franchise is best suited to be revived as a battle royale?
Now, this is so weird.
I loved Josh's suggestion, so I have to steal it.
Okay, go for it.
Twisted Metal Royale.
Oh my gosh!
It's the perfect one.
And you know, it would be so different than everything else that's out there, like a car battle royale game.
Oh man,
that'd be amazing.
You know, Burnout,
can you imagine, like, at the very end when your car is just, like, barely, like, wobbling around and you're just barely
so
able
good.
To fight? That'd be so cool.
It. Yeah, I'm actually really down with that.
Burnout Paradise would be another really fun one. I don't know how they would do, like, the crazy slow motion stuff, but, like, you have to crash into all the other cars in, like, the most spectacular way possible. That would be pretty fun as a battle royale.
Yeah, and I don't know that this is a dead gaming franchise, but Mad Max would be pretty amazing as a battle royale.
Interesting.
Yeah, like, I could see
kind
that.
Kind of. Some car combat, some on foot, you know, that would be pretty amazing.
I love it.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. We did it.
And them's the tweet.
Succeeded.
Yeah. Thank you guys. Thank you guys so much for writing in. That was a lot of awesome questions.
Yeah, it really was.
Very good. Very good. So Patreon time, guys.
Yeah. Tell me about
it. My body is ready.
So you can back us on patreon.com/sbfvgs if you like the show, you like what we do, you want us doing more of it. $1, if you chip that in, you get early episode access, usually 1 to 3 days ahead of the street date. $2 gets you access to Patreon-exclusive minisodes. We're about to release another one of those. And $5 gets you access to the video archive and live streams of our recording sessions. So now the show is a video podcast for you. So there you have it. So pretty sweet. For the cost of a measly Big Mac, you too can be watching this show live as we record it.
Yeah.
One Big Mac a month.
Yeah. Easy. Yeah.
And you can be chatting live with us, interject questions, and goofs, some spoofs even. Who knows? So.
You going to spoof us? You could start a riff track. Who knows?
Oh, a riff track to our podcast. That's a great idea.
And of course, there are more glorious tiers.
Patreon backer t-shirt that's going out soon.
Yeah, exclusive to the backers. Yeah. So go to patreon.com/sbfvgs if you'd like to support us.
There was madness in any direction.
It is meat and potatoes time, topic time, topic of the night, topic of the day,
because maybe they're listening to it in the
Mike,
morning. Adam.
Topic of the morning, top of the morning
topic
to
of
you.
The morning to you, my good man.
take it away, Mike.
So, I've been playing a lot of Sekiro. I don't know if you guys can tell.
What?
I like the game a lot.
What is this game?
Tell me all about it. Tell me everything about it. So, I don't know anything about it.
Feudal Japan.
Okay.
The Ashina territory.
Okay.
You start off, and no, I'm not going to go into it. That would be ridiculous. Go buy the game, go play it.
No.
So, like all From Software games, it is in its own way exceedingly difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like with some of the other From Software games, when they've come out, this discussion has kind of spawned up. But it feels like to the 10th degree with Sekiro for some reason. Maybe it's because the game is just so stinking cool and everyone wants to play it. But the kind of question I wanted to ask you guys, it was, should games, all games, or games at least like Sekiro, should they have an easy mode to make them more accessible to a larger player base?
Does it have one now?
And no, there's no difficulty. So here's what I'll say. With all From Software games, they usually don't have a difficulty setting.
Oh.
When you're playing it on the easiest mode because there's a new game plus. And every time you beat the game, it just ramps the difficulty up.
Oh, man.
Every time you restart. usually up, I think Sekiro does it to like 7 times.
Wow.
I think Bloodborne did the same thing.
So problem solved. It does have an easy mode, and we're all
playing
it. Thank
you for listening,
right,
everyone. This has been...
So I know you guys aren't playing this game, but...
No. Yeah, not yet.
Maybe that ties into some of your taste. Maybe you don't play it because you feel like it should be more accessible, or you'd have more fun if it was more accessible.
yeah, so...
And
okay.
One thing I want to get into really, really quickly, because I think we'll talk about both of these items, is that's kind of how the conversation online started with articles and tweets and things like that. And there's been an offshoot about making the game more accessible for folks that need actual accessibility options. Mm. So not accessibility in like a wider player base, but more.
Like, yeah. Commercial or. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. But also accessibility options for folks that have
disabled,
you know,
people. Yeah.
Different disabilities that make it harder for them to play games like this.
Right.
And so before we kind of do anything, I definitely want to sit down, like I'm 100% for any accessibility options that allow more people to play this game.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if there's a disability that prevents them from playing the game. And so I think I'm not an expert in this field, and I feel terrible even talking about it because I don't know the details of like what folks struggle with and what they would want. But I think at the very least, I would say like all games at this point, you know, regardless of whether they have an easy mode or not, I would love to see the ability to always remap my controller buttons, no matter what those buttons are. Let me remap my controller however I want to.
I think the Xbox One lets you do that.
That is super cool if it does.
I think it's system-wide. Like system, I think so.
Okay. And Sony has something similar, I think. But I think the hard part is sometimes when you're in-game, it's harder to like map those buttons in your brain. Like, okay, well, I changed X to this and whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so like things like colorblind modes and... I know Celeste has like amazing like accessibility options about like being able to like actually slow the pace of the game down on the fly. If you enable that feature. And so we can certainly go down that road. But the question was primarily about, is the game just too stinking hard, regardless of who's trying to play it?
Yeah. All right. So I think I'd like to say, just as an answer to the question, yes, I think these games should have an easy mode, but only if From Software wants to. So because okay. like, and so let me delve into that a little bit.
Okay.
let me delve into that because I think it is awesome that more developers are including accessibility options in their games. Like
100%,
Celeste, like you mentioned, Spider-Man, like, because some people have a hard time pushing a button really fast, like tapping a button or hitting a button repeatedly for a long time. You know, it's like there are various disabilities, right? That we need to kind of, you know, be mindful of. But so like Spider-Man would give options to allow people to auto complete QTEs or to hold a button instead of tapping it in Uncharted or something like that, you know. So there's a lot of people are being really smart and conscious about this stuff, and I think it's relatively new, right? Like that whole side of
it. Accessibility, so I think in general has been making leaps and bounds over the last like I want to say last 5 years, they've been like, it started with colorblind mode and it's kind of like continued from there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that people who are not disabled, it probably just never even occurred to them, you know, in a lot of ways. But like, I don't think a lot of people will realize that, like, cause we work with someone whose son is disabled and he's in a wheelchair and he's unable to, you know, go out and do, you know, most of the things that we take for granted. So being able to play games is like this enormous outlet for him, you know, and he plays games constantly. And so, I mean, that's something that I think, you know, we all love video games, right? But it is a hobby, you know, and whereas it definitely, I think, becomes something more to some people in other situations. So, so from that standpoint, yes, it is, the more people you can get your game to, and the better, right? And I think with this game and with other games that are the hottest thing of this very zeitgeisty, sure. you know, it's got to be really frustrating if you can't physically play it.
Yeah. Right? Yep.
Like if you just couldn't, you can't, like, or maybe like you, even if it's a mental issue and you just can't handle like that speed, that reflex time, you know? So yeah, there's a lot there, that I think is, I think really a great thing. Like you're saying, David, that has come leaps and bounds in the last few years.
Yep.
But at the same time, I don't want to see publishers like pressuring studios with a very specific vision for a game to do something that they feel compromises that vision. So, I mean, the like From Software is a great example of the From's been around forever, but From Software, you know, before, until they made like Demon's Souls and through Sekiro and started making these brutally hard games, like From Software, that's when they became From Software.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like before that they did, you know, various games, but like that's now you see From Software and you're like, oh, I know what this is. Mm-hmm. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be tough, but it's going to be like, I'm going to beat a boss and I'm going to stand up in my living room in my underwear screaming with victory, you know? So like there's definitely, and I actually have not played very much From Software games at all, but like I know that feeling, like it's like, you know, it's that old school gaming feeling, right? It's that Cuphead feeling, like more recently.
Cuphead is a really good example of this. There's, I think, few games that can get the dopamine to release like Cuphead.
Yeah. So I'd hate to see, like, the next time they go to talk to a publisher to make a game. Mm-hmm. Because I think they've worked with a few different ones now. Like Sony put out two of these games. I think Bandai Namco put out the three Dark Souls games, and now you have is this Activision?
Activision, yeah, for Sekiro.
Activision, okay, yeah. So, you know, I'd hate to see it to where From goes to talk to their next publisher, or if it's someone else, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh yeah, but by the way, remember all those people who are angry on Twitter? Yeah, so you have to like make an easy mode now.
You're worried that they're going to stand up on stage in front of Huey Lewis and he's going to tell them they're just too darn loud.
They're just too darn loud. Yeah, like I don't want, so I'm kind of libertarian on, like, as far as creativity goes, I want artists to have their vision and be able to accomplish it. And I want as little corporate meddling as possible, usually.
Sure.
So from that standpoint, I'm like, I just want them to be able to make the game they want. But at the same time, the other side of the argument is very valid, right? So I mean, it's a nuanced discussion where you're like, I want people to have their brutally tough thing that they can be proud that they beat it, and they know that anyone else who beat it, they also went through the same grueling grind to do it, you know?
Right.
There's something that forms a community quickly around that. And I think that is a special thing that has made these games blow up the way they have.
Yeah.
No, it's a really, really good point.
So I'm going to just jump in and say,
yeah,
I'm very bad at video games.
I don't think that's true.
I am very bad at most video games. There's a couple that like will click with me, like Apex Legends just clicked with me. So, but on PC, I'm terrible at that game. So, I historically avoid games that are very hard. Like when I play StarCraft, so for example, I just played StarCraft 2's first campaign. In their second one, we talked about this earlier. This is a callback.
Yeah.
I could not beat the last mission. And, you know, I spent like 2 hours on it and I just kept dying and starting over and dying and starting over and, like, you know, tried new checkpoints, tried starting from the beginning. I just couldn't beat it. And I got to the point where I'm like, I got mad because in my head, it felt like this game is not honoring my time. You know, like I am playing this game mostly to get through the story because I want to see what happens. And I don't want to have to keep starting over and losing all of this time that I've just spent because my time is precious to me. So because like that, and that's just kind of my reaction to every game that's hard. So I just don't play From Software games at all.
No, I mean, like a really good point to what you're saying, right, is like God of War, the most current version, the PS4 version of God of War. It has like the give me God of War mode, which is like brutally difficult. The enemies have these crazy long life bars. And it also has a mode that's just like, I can't remember what it's called, but it basically just, I'm interested in the story.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
And so like kind of no matter where you, and it all, I think there's like three or four options in between those two. So you can kind of just kind of fine tune it to what your interest is. And I think that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah. And I've definitely heard, some developers, like, I think it was Cliff Bleszinski, who said, you can't make your easy mode too easy. Like, if someone wants to play on easy mode, it's because they're not there to be challenged. They want to just experience the story and see the graphics and hear the music and just play around and have fun. Like,
sure.
So it's kind of an interesting difference in philosophy that we see. You know, I think maybe it's a more East versus West,
yeah, like cultural kind of difference too. I think there are some cultural differences there. I will say I tend to be more drawn to the power fantasy kind of games where by the time you are near the end of the game, you feel like an unstoppable superhero force to be reckoned with, you sure. know, like, so I actually, the harder the last fight or boss or mission is, like, the more I'm like, I feel like I'm less of a bad A now than I was at the beginning.
I should be destroying this guy. I put 60 hours into this thing.
So, so anyway, yeah, it's for me, it's like more of a, like, I want to feel strong, you know?
No, I get that.
Oh, so, sure. So to touch back on the cheating tirade that I gave you this earlier in the episode. So James Davenport from PC Gamer wrote an article that says, I beat Sekiro's final boss with cheats and I feel fine. basically, there is an easy mode, but it's only on PC is kind of how some people are putting it. You know, there's a mod that allows you to slow down the fights a little bit, you know, and to where it makes it to where your reaction time doesn't have to be so quick.
Oh.
And you actually have a little bit better chance of parrying and blocking and dodging the way you need to. So yeah, that's where that tirade I
was
read
it a comment
came from. It was someone quote tweeted that story and said, you cheated not only the game but yourself. You didn't grow, didn't improve. So, and the guy Fetus Berry has come out and said, like, he was being melodramatic. It was kind of a joke because everyone started mocking it.
Kind of like how The Room by Tommy Wiseau is a joke.
I'm 100% with you. I think that's exactly how it went down.
Yeah. He might have been totally serious.
Yeah, he might have been. The reason I love that he made that statement was not that I agree with it, but it spawned some of the funniest stinking memes I've seen. Like,
oh, they're so good. I retweeted one the other day, the Mario 64 penguin race. Oh my gosh, where you take the shortcut to the side and then the penguin says all that to you. It's so good. So yeah.
Oh so, my gosh. I think my take on this is I really don't care if a game has an easy mode or not, because it doesn't impact necessarily how I'm going to play the game. I tend to just play on, if there's difficulty settings, I tend to just play on normal. Whatever the thing it was going to start out with, that's what I play on. And if I played a second time,
especially single player,
absolutely. So I don't care if it ends up having an easy mode or not. But when I started to think about it a little bit more, what I was kind of curious of was what put From Software on the map? And I think it's the fact that everyone knows their games are just really difficult in a very particular way. And they take, you know, a lot of endurance, or they take a lot, you know, to some degree, problem solving is really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if the reason they're not interested in doing an easy mode is because the thought is, if there's an easy mode and people can kind of breach through the game without that challenge that they're going to accustom to, are people as interested in From Software games at that point? Do they lose their notoriety? That's why they're not interested in doing it. Just something to consider, I think, as we're talking about that.
And the game director, Miyazaki, has given interviews and stuff about their design philosophy, and just kind of all all about letting players experience a sense of accomplishment through overcoming difficulties. So
right.
like we've been talking about it, that's pretty core to their experiences, and they build it into the lore. They build it into the whole thing about resurrecting in Sekiro and how it's like, you know, you don't, it's like even more, the story and the world is reflecting that you're going to die a lot, but you really got to try hard not to. so yeah, it's,
I don't know. I will give them this. I think it's their most, accessible game in terms of like how hard is the game. At least for my take on it, I think it's easier than Bloodborne for sure. Some people would probably disagree with that. But I think it's because it's so different, right? In Bloodborne to in Dark Souls, dodging plays a huge, huge role in those games. And it plays a role in Sekiro as well, but not the primary role. Like, they really want you to stand your ground and kind of learn their rhythm mechanic. And
yeah,
I think Sekiro really started to click for me when I started thinking of it as more a puzzle game / rhythm game than like a action adventure God of War style game.
Okay, so like Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Lot like Mike Tyson's Punch Out. That's like maybe a perfect example of what this game is like. It's like you jump in, the boss is gonna beat you like several times probably before you figure it out. What the puzzle is, right? And then even once you sort of have that puzzle, it's also about finding that rhythm. Like, okay, now he's winding up that big move, and just kind of
now I gotta uppercut him in the chin and get the star.
Right, exactly. yeah. You know what? That might be one of the best examples I've ever heard anyone say is Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
How about Parappa the rapper?
less so, I think. Less
so. There's not as much rapping in this as maybe previous From Software games.
Yeah. Oh man, Dark Souls 3, they just rap all over the place.
But to kind of take it back for folks that, you know, are hearing all this news and like, well, you know, I played Dark Souls, it's super hard, and Bloodborne super hard. I think From Software has done a lot in this game to make it far more accessible. There's all the traversal, which lets you bypass or like assassinate a bunch of guys instead of having to fight like every last creature. There is the resurrection feature. So even if you do die, like, and you still had health potions and everything to use and you didn't get to them, you can actually resurrect and then kind of keep going. So you almost get like a second chance, which is really, really cool. And there's lots of bosses that I was really close to. And because I had that resurrect, I was able to finish that fight. It has probably the most coherent story of any From Software game I've ever seen.
Wow.
There's actual like story and cutscenes and dialogue versus just like picking through items in your inventory and reading the descriptions on them to try to figure out what the heck the game's about. as much as I love Bloodborne, like From Software, like they've, I don't want to like harsh on them for bad storytelling. I think they have amazing environmental storytelling. And Sekiro's maybe like their best take at actually telling a story. So I think in a lot of ways they've made their formula a lot more accessible to a wider audience. Could they do more? Yeah, I'm absolutely sure they could. And should they? I guess I'll have to leave it up to them as far as whether or not they feel like their game is maybe needing an easy mode for more public accessibility. But in terms of, like we talked about at the beginning, accessibility options for disabled folks, I think that's probably should become non-negotiable at some point. Like there should be like a feature set that's just in every single game, right? Like an accessibility feature that you check and it has maybe a list of items that you can turn on or off for your gameplay session.
For sure.
And that would be super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even if they did add, like say Sekiro 2 comes out and it has an easy mode on
it. Sure.
That's why platinum trophies exist.
Maybe I'll play it.
You know, that's a really good point. Yeah. You know,
if you're worried about your street cred, which I know a lot of it is, I wear my finishing Cuphead as a badge of honor, you know, and I think a lot of From Software people do the same, you know? So it's like, but I think that's probably where the achievements and the trophies come in. It's like, yeah, okay. I platinumed Sekiro. Well, okay. You obviously didn't play it on easy, you know?
Right.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good point. Like, if the argument is coming from, and it certainly is, Adam, you're absolutely right. If it's coming from a place of like this elitism, like that I want the game to be as hard as possible so I can feel really good about being one of the few people that completed it. Like,
right.
That's not the place we want to be coming from.
Yeah.
Right. No, I think there's a bit of that out there though. So I think, you know,
right. And there's certain games, I think, where I don't mind that they've made the platinum trophy tied to, the difficulty level. Although yeah. I'm always super pleasantly surprised when trophies are not tied to difficulty, so yeah, I can actually yeah. platinum them super
online
quick.
Modes like
oh my gosh,
was
yes.
it The Last of Us where you had to like do a bunch of online?
Yep. You had to play like 40 hours of the online to platinum that game.
Oh my gosh,
it's insanity!
No, thank
Naughty
you.
Dog is usually Naughty Dog's usually really bad about their trophies. I don't know what it is. They're so good at making games and so bad about their trophies.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
but anyway. I digress. Yes. Sorry, Josh. Sorry.
Faithful listener, we know.
Faithful listener.
Well, I don't think that impacted the Uncharted 4. I guess I don't think DLC is the right word for this, but...
Expansion, no.
What do you
call
Lost
Legacy? Is that what you're talking about?
It's Lost Legacy. I'm just trying to like, what? I don't know.
I guess it's a standalone game.
It's its own game. You're right. Yeah. It's a spinoff. I never looked at the platinum for that one because there's no online feature to that game.
You better
get
back.
There
is. Get back to it.
It's the Uncharted 4 multiplayer. You get that with it too.
Do you?
Oh, yeah, it installed itself. I actually installed that game. This is totally off topic, but I installed that game the other day. I'm thinking about playing through it. And it installed the Uncharted 4 multiplayer as well.
It's a good game. It is a good game.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, to put a bow on it, Mike, take us home.
To put a bow on it, I don't care if Sekiro has an easy mode or not. If they do one, that would be super cool, I guess, for the folks that want it. I'm having a ton of fun with the game as is, and I think everyone should go buy it. It's an amazing game.
All right. Okay. All right.
I won't be playing it.
End of the show plugs for all.
Whoa.
That was nice.
My spirits have been lifted.
The moment took me there.
Yeah.
So I did it.
It's beautiful.
All right. So time to plug our pals at the Cooperatives Play.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
If you like gaming, co-op, and co-op gaming, check out the Cooperatives. They are a nerdy couple who host chill streams 3 times a week from 7 p.m. Central to 9:30 p.m.
Although I think took a week off last week because they were very sick.
Both a little of them. Sabbatical.
Yeah.
Understandable.
Yeah.
And I will say, that,
they've been playing that Sekiro.
I was going to say, that is maybe their least chill stream.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's possible to have a chill stream playing a game like Sekiro. It's just not.
No. But yeah, so check them out at twitch.tv/thecooperativesplay. So twitch.tv/thecooperativesplay. Or you can check them out on Twitter at Let's Cooperate.
There you go.
It's a good Twitter handle.
Yeah, real good. Real good.
I want to just throw in a little plug. I've been working on a separate YouTube channel called Beyond the Backlot, where I've been creating
it's very good
visual effects recreations of old 1980s movies. But the whole, it's basically, we've got 2 episodes up right now. The first one was about the Goonies, which Adam mentioned earlier. The second episode was about Back to the Future. And they basically go to shooting locations that these movies shot at and like explore like kind of the geography a little bit and like try to recreate shots from the movies like as they look now, and it's just fun. It's a fun time, and we're trying to get some
Like I was blown away that the high school was in Whittier. That was like, that's like really not far from us.
Oh really?
Yeah
that's
amazing. You should go pretty cool. A pilgrimage. This is Back to the Future.
I know. It actually, that was the Back to the Future episode. I was watching it the other day. I was like, man, this is like a lot of this stuff's really close to us.
Go see Strickland's house
because we're so close to Hollywood.
It's right.
Hollywood. Woo.
You guys are big time Tinseltown top dogs. Anyway, so yeah, it's called Beyond the Backlot. It's on YouTube. It's on Facebook. Give it an old subscribe.
It's a really cool show.
Yeah,
I can vouch for it. It is very, very entertaining. I'm liking it a lot.
Thank you.
And the shots that you guys are recreating are so cool.
Yeah.
I think you guys recreated the restaurant shot in the Goonies episode.
Yeah, because the cabin,
the kids
was
are walking
a set
up to the restaurant.
It was a set that doesn't exist in location. So I just made it, put it there, just dropped it in.
It's pretty awesome. And then they recreated the Twin Pines Mall shot
where the
from,
DeLorean
Back to
disappears
the
in like a puff of backwards explosion. basically.
Yeah, that's pretty great. So, yeah, very, very cool stuff. Once more.
Oh, Beyond the Backlot. Just search for Beyond the Backlot on YouTube or Facebook and you'll find it.
Yeah, it's a good time. So, and also you can keep up with us, of course, at sbfvgs.com. That's where you can find links to our episodes, social media, our Twitch channel, merchandise, and more. And of course, like I said before, if you like what we do, you want to see us doing more of it, best ways to support the show are patreon.com/sbfvgs, twitch.tv/sbfvgs. You can subscribe there or just leave us a delightful iTunes review. Mm-hmm. You know, we much appreciate all of those things.
Delightful.
And of course, very special thanks to Eric Kruger for our podcast logo and for his handsome face. You can follow us on Twitter at SBFVGS Podcast. I'm on there as well. Barry White, yeah. BURYWITE. Mike is Taco Douglas. David is David J. Tate.
Hi.
And of course, feel free to friend me on PSN. Barry White on there as well. Let's play some Apex Legends, you know?
Yeah.
Get crazy. Let's get crazy.
Get Adam a win. He needs one.
Get me a win. I want to ride your coattails to
there
victory.
You go. And I want to say one more thing. We are streaming a little bit more often on Twitch now. Mike is working on getting a streaming set up as well, so he can do Jackbox nights more often. Mm-hmm. So look for us on there. Like, subscribe on Twitch. We'll be on. We'll be there. So
we'll be. Yeah.
If you want to hang out with us while we play video games.
All right. Which, and why, that's all the time we have. That's all the time we have for Super Best Friends Video Game Sleepover episode 119. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back every 2 weeks with more podcast party time talk on gaming. Hit us up with your questions, topics, or musings if you want to be part of the show. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. See you guys.
This episode is brought to you by Coors Light.
Is that what you're drinking?
Gosh, is that what you're drinking?
Yeah.
How dare you?
I tapped the Rockies, baby. I tapped the Rockies!